Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining us. It's good to be with you as always, and it's especially good to be with you on President's Day, because you know what that means. That probably means that our good friend Bert Folsom is going to be with us. Dr. Bert Folsom is an old friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of Empire Builders, the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons. He is a professor at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. He is the resident historian of the Brain Trust, of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, but more importantly, he's our good friend. Bert, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back on President's Day. Thank you for showing up over these years, time after time, and imparting some of your vast and important perspectives on us. Burton, for a long time, we celebrated Mr. Washington's birthday, and we celebrated Mr. Lincoln's birthday. And
yes,
around 1971, that kind of got consolidated, didn't it?
That was a concern, wasn't it? We celebrated two great presidents individually.
Yep.
And they were great. And if you look at most presidential polls by conservative and liberal, those two are either the top two or just about the top two in both polls. Mm-hmm. But now it is now we celebrate President's Day and we lump them all together, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, exactly. But we still, of course, we still recognize, of course, today really is kind of Washington's birthday, but we do identify President Lincoln's birthday. In fact, I had President Lincoln on my show during on the occasion of his birthday this
year. Oh, well, that's good.
He's been on several times in the past. He always brings along with him his friend Gene Greisman, too. The two of them traveled pretty closely together.
They're close together.
Yeah, they're very close together. But we've had Mr. Lincoln on for, this, I think, the sixth consecutive year on his birthday. That was pretty cool. The American presidency is basically a unique thing in the world, isn't it?
Well, it is. It was an invention of the founders. There's nothing quite like it. And, of course, they were very concerned about the centralization of power, so they didn't want to give the president very much power. So, in fact, he's not directly elected by the voters. He's elected mm-hmm. by the Electoral College. Anything they could to try to decentralize power. And, of course,
they were worried about the king issue, weren't they?
Oh, they were. They were, and they were worried that the House of Representatives might have too much power, that the Senate would. The Senate was, of course, selected by state legislatures back then.
They didn't trust anybody, did they?
No. That was part of the lesson. We don't trust anybody, even ourselves.
but the presidency has become a very special thing in the history of planet Earth, in the history of mankind. How fortunate were we to have a man like George Washington to be the first president?
Indispensable. Absolutely indispensable. That made the institution. I think he's the greatest president we've had in all our history. And to have someone like that right from the start established traditions, it established the United States on a sound footing in so many ways. Washington, for starters, helped us pay all our debts back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And get our credit established.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know about the two-term tradition, of course, but how important that is that we don't have lifetime politicians back early
if
in our
If he had had an enormous ego, for example, if John Adams had been the first president,
okay.
things might have turned out differently, mightn't it?
Well, I think so. First of all, our country would have been much more fragmented. We wouldn't have been able to unite easily on a first president. That would have created problems because it would have made it harder to establish clear precedent. In other words,
right.
Washington, because he was, because everybody wanted him, was able to establish things like a cabinet, and they said, "Oh, okay, Washington wants a cabinet. Let's do that."
Yeah.
But see, if you'd have had a divided presidency right from the start, all of these traditions would have been contested.
Like the one in 1802 between Burr and Jefferson.
Oh, that 1800 election was terrible because,
I mean, yeah.
It was a tie. It finished in a tie, and it had to be decided by the House of Representatives.
How many votes did they take?
They took, I think, about 25.
Yeah, different votes, and it kept coming out the same thing.
Right.
And finally, the House of Representatives had to decide, didn't it?
Yes, they did. And the whole thing was just a huge mess. And if we'd had to undergo that in our first...
In the beginning,
it just would have been awful. Fortunately, we had a constitutional amendment that prevented the president and the vice president from tying.
Well, the thing about George Washington, in his farewell address, ladies and gentlemen... I have a copy of that, and I've read it to you before. He called us Americans. He may have been the first one to call us Americans and told us to be proud of that name, and I think we should be. Stand by. 22. We'll be right back with Bert Folsom. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. By the way, let me remind you, coming up tomorrow on the show, Hector Barreto, the administrator of the Small Business Administration, will be with us. I'm looking forward to getting him some of his thoughts on in front of us. And so that's coming up tomorrow, among other things. A lot of other good folks, too, all the rest of the week. Bert Folsom is our guest. He is a professor of history at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. He's also the author of The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders. And Bert, how's that new book coming?
Well, I'm working on it. It's the one on Roosevelt, so
yeah.
Maybe that's appropriate for President's Day since he was a president.
Absolutely.
And this summer, I hope to be a big time when I get to writing on that book.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to getting that in the future. Bert, one of the things that I'd like to point out, something that you've taught us over the years, is that you know, we think of politics today as being rough and tumble.
Yes.
But it qualified almost as a blood sport 200 years ago, didn't it?
Well, it was, because both parties had newspapers. They were explicitly partisan newspapers, and the partisan newspapers would be quite vehement in their attack of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we even had a law passed, the Sedition Act, under President Adams, that said anything of a false and malicious nature published against an officer of the government could get you a prison term or a fine.
Hmm.
And we had people who did jail terms for saying nasty things about John Adams.
So if that were still in effect right now, what would have happened in the last election?
Well, we could have a lot of politicians in prison. Maybe that would be a good thing.
That might not be a bad thing in some cases. But, you know, Bert, when I think we were talking earlier about the election, the 1800 election between Jefferson and Burr, that was so close. We came real close to having a President Burr, didn't we?
We did. And that might have been a disaster because he was such an unethical person.
Well,
now,
he had a lot of character flaws.
He did. But, of course, we've seen that. We've been able to survive that in the past, too.
Yeah,
but this
have.
One coming earlier in our history might have been more difficult. He, once he was ousted from the scene in 1800, once he did not receive the presidency, he was involved in a conspiracy that he
actually became vice president, though.
He became vice president and was involved in a conspiracy to try to break the Midwest loose and become the king of some Midwestern area.
And went on the lam for a while.
And was on the lam and had a trial, and the whole thing was quite bizarre.
Right. And then, of course, as we know, he later, I visited the Alexander Hamilton exhibit in New York City over the holidays.
Oh, good.
And it's an outstanding demonstration. I think it may still be up for a few more days. I can't remember. I think maybe the end of February was the last of that. But it is really impressive. And it actually showed some of the letters that Hamilton and Burr wrote back and forth to each other, and you could just see the hatred building between them, till finally it resulted in the duel, and Alexander Hamilton was killed.
Right. It started because Hamilton simply said that Burr should not be supported for political office, and Burr, when he did that to him twice, once for the vice presidency when he was trying to get Jefferson in over Burr, and then for governor of New York, Burr challenged him to a duel, which Hamilton should not have accepted.
That's right. And one last little thing. His son was killed 2 years previously to that, Hamilton's son, in a duel with, with the same weapons. Did you know
Isn't that remarkable? That
with
Hamilton
the same weapons.
I mean,
very interesting. Bert, let's get back to the presidents. Has the presidency made the men who were in those jobs at some of the critical times, has the presidency made those men great, or were those men great and they rose to the occasion?
I would say it's more the latter than the former, but certainly the times in which some people became president brought out the excellence that was within them. I'm thinking of the Civil War and Lincoln in particular,
right,
because very few people thought Lincoln would amount to anything. But if you look at his life and his preparation for the presidency, he had a lot of very good character traits coming in, and he was a very persistent person and had a love for the Union, and all of that came into play in a very constructive way, at least for holding the Union together during the Civil War. And in the case of Grover Cleveland, you get people who are people of character, and then the office brings that character out.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the case of Clinton, you have people who don't have much character, and then when the presidency magnifies the traits that they bring into the presidency.
Right. What about Lincoln? If Lincoln had been on television and on radio, would we have liked the way he spoke and the sound of his voice?
Probably not, because everybody said he had a very high-pitched voice that was not
attractive.
Not have probably played well over TV and radio, although it must have done fairly well because he debated with that voice and did well with Douglas in his debates, but still probably not a good voice, one that would have done well in the 20th century.
He continued to bloom, didn't he? And his life went on. He continued to find new ways to excel, didn't he, as life went on?
Well, he did. He only had that one term in Congress. He had some terms in the state legislature, but
right,
he only ever had that one term in Congress before he became president. And when they asked him to fill out a form in which he described himself, one of the categories was education, and he wrote after it, deficient.
He was very self-effacing, no question about that.
Very self-effacing, and he knew that he did not have what most other people had, and so he worked hard to overcompensate.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Bert to tell us what he thinks history will report on George W. Bush, Bush 43. Right after these messages, it's 10 till. Stay with us. Here's Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the east? Showing away the time.
We're back at 7 till. There's Steely Dan for you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Bert Folsom is our guest. Dr. Burton W. Folsom, Jr. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to check out his books wherever your books are sold, The Myth of the Robber Barons and Empire Builders, and among others. You've got some other books out there, I know, Bert. And I'd like for you to give us the Hilldale College website, please.
Yes. It's www.hillsdale.org.
.org or edu.
Or .edu.
.edu, right.
And, you can look on our website. Hillsdale takes no federal aid.
Yeah, we're really proud of them for that. And it's a very unique experience, and I encourage you to check it out and consider that for your children. It's
right
in Michigan, right?
In Southern Michigan.
Hillsdale, Michigan. Bert, let's get back into the presidents a little bit. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, we've had lots of different kinds of presidents. And we've had presidents that really mattered and really held things together at times when things were really tough. I think that's one of the things George Bush is going to be known for. He is and will continue to be known for is he was the president when we were attacked on the level that we were
right
for the first time in history.
Right.
Haven't, but doesn't, our success has depended a lot on our presidents, but it's really, really been a factor of the people behind the president. You, people like you and me, all American citizens who believed in this dream, this experiment that Abraham Lincoln called it 80 years later, and it's really is a testament to the American people, isn't it? How well the presidency's done.
Well, yes, and we've been able to survive some bad ones, and we've enjoyed some good ones, and
but yet the Republic has endured.
In what way you're thinking, Jim?
Well, the Republic, I mean, it's endured even through some of the tough times, even through, you know, with the resignation of Nixon and the assassination of Kennedy, and
it has,
and look at all the different things that have happened
with the impeachment of Andrew Johnson,
exactly, and of Bill Clinton, and so. So I'm really, you know, I think that there's a lot of accolades that can go around, not just for the presidents that have done well, but Bert, what about this week? There are three presidents very much in the news. We've got President Bush 41 and President Clinton both in Indonesia right now, helping the tsunami victims.
Right.
Doesn't that say an awful lot about the American presidency that those two guys, former foes, different parties, totally different individuals in terms of their political ideology, both of them serving side by side, traveling together to help and to reach out to people in other parts of the world who need us?
Well, yes, and especially since they ran against each other.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, I mean, even Jimmy Carter deserves some credit for the work he's done with Habitat for Humanity to come out of that office and to use your influence to better the lives of other people. And
he's been a much better past president than he was a president.
Right, right. And he showed when he was predicting that the Iraqi elections would not be held, that it was too unstable, why he really was not a very good leader. But
well, I don't mean to pile on him, but I think it's kind of ironic that that a nuclear submarine would be named for him too. I think that's interesting, which is happening this week. But anyway, I'll get off of that. What about Mr. Bush? What do you think? Now he's in Europe, I prefer to say he's giving the Europeans the opportunity to reach across to him.
He has been a very an unexpectedly strong president. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he will be remembered as a great president is not clear yet, but he certainly is putting himself in position to be considered a great president. And we're just going to have to a lot of this. We're going to have to see how Iraq plays out, how the whole war on terror plays out, how the Social Security privatization plays out. But
whether you agree with him or not on his policies, don't you have to give him credit for having the courage of his convictions?
He does, and that was so needed after Clinton. In other words, he brought to the presidency something that was that people want to see associated with the presidency, and they didn't see it for 8 years, and now it's back again, and I think a lot of people like that.
In my military experience, I saw people more ready to follow a leader who was prepared to make a decision for the right reasons and stand behind those decisions than they were for someone who was wishy-washy. People don't like to follow someone who doesn't seem to stand for anything consistently.
Well, and it's harder than ever. Yes, I think you're right. It's harder than ever now because instant polling and criticism is always there for the decisions that you're making, and it's tempting to back off and not make a firm decision. But Bush is not that way.
I got to wrap it up, but do you think we'll have a presidency in the United States 100 years from now?
Yes.
Okay. How about 200?
Yes. Maybe you'll run for it, Jim.
Yeah, when I'm 150, right. Hey, thanks, Bert. Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen, the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Happy President's Day. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.